For Mary, resurrection wasn't real until being named by Christ, until he spoke her name. After speaking with him, she rushes to tell the disciples, "I have seen him," she tells them in a rush. Later that same evening, they're all gathered in a locked room, terrified that they will be identified as co-conspirators with the man so recently crucified, terrified of the crowds. Clearly, resurrection has not yet become real for them in this moment, even with Mary's acclamation and Mary's discipleship. But then Jesus appears among them. "Peace be with you," he says. And in his speaking, in his gift of peace, they are filled with joy. For the disciples gathered that night, resurrection wasn't real until Christ stood among them and said the words, "Peace be with you," and showed them his wounds. And then we come to Thomas, wonderful, honest Thomas, who wasn't there that night and who had to hear this all secondhand rather than experience it himself, and who expressed his doubt like any of us would have done in his place. If we were mourning the death of our dear friend and mentor, if we were hiding from the authorities because our mentor had been branded a criminal, wouldn't we also wonder, what did these guys get into that night? I think some of us have been taught to look at Thomas as an example of what not to do in our walk as Christians, taught to look at him with pity, at least, and condescension at most. True believers, we tell ourselves, don't need to see to believe. But I've always loved Thomas because he is honest. He's honest with his doubt and where he's at. He's honest with his struggle to believe his friends. He's honest with what he would need to see to believe their wild claims of resurrection. And true to his word, he is truly convicted when he sees Jesus standing before him and when he feels the wounds in his side and hands. For Thomas, this is the moment when the resurrection became real, became meaningful. The final time Christ appears in John's gospel is a lesser known story, in part because we're so quick to finish off John's gospel with the story of Thomas's belief. But this final chapter tells the story of Jesus appearing on the beach to his disciples as they fish. He's standing on the sand while they're out in the waves, and they can't tell who he is from that far away, but they can hear him calling to throw their nets to the other side of the boat. They do so, and suddenly the net is filled to bursting, seams and backs straining alike as they haul their catch on board. Immediately, the disciples recognize him again, this man who made them fishers of men. And Simon Peter jumps from the boat, swims ashore, and sits at his feet again. Seeing their teacher, seeing their leader once again filling their nets, once again walking along the water's edge, they experience yet again resurrection becoming real. In each of these instances, Jesus appeared in the form and in the moment when his followers needed the resurrection to be real. He appeared to Mary and called her name when she was alone and weeping at his tomb. He appeared to his disciples in their fear-heavy room and said, "Peace be with you." He appeared before Thomas saying, "Here are my wounds. Touch them and believe." He appeared to his fishing disciples and told them where to throw their nets so that they may be fully fed and so may likewise feed others. As I was reflecting on these texts this week, the very real human element kept snagging my imagination. We know these names, Mary Magdalene, Thomas, Simon Peter, and we hear them so often they take on a mythical quality. When I was little, Mary Magdalene sounded like Cinderella in my head, someone from a fairy tale who wasn't totally real, who experienced something absolutely magical. But reading over these stories, their humanness and not their magical moments makes me admire them even more, especially with Thomas. Here's this guy who has no reason to believe his friends, other than maybe a little bit of irrational hope and trust in his buddies, who names his doubt, who names his conditions, and who shows up anyways. He doesn't say, "You guys are weirding me out. I'm going to get out of town for a bit and lay low." No, a week later, he's gathered with them, in community with them, holding space with them for their grief. And in that togetherness, Christ appeared, knowing that Thomas needed to see to believe. Mary, so lost in grief, doesn't recognize her beloved teacher, but she was at the tomb anyways. In her grief, she couldn't recognize Christ, but even in her grief, she got up and walked to the tomb and showed up anyways. Just like he did for his lost and frightened disciples, Christ appears in our midst in ways that shock, surprise, and comfort us. As you continue to reflect on resurrection moments in your own life, as we continue in the heaviness of life in a pandemic, as we continue to carry the weight of our entire lives, my challenge this week to us all is to show up anyways. To show up open to the possibility of Christ's presence in the ways we least expect but most need. To show up open and willing to learn. May we also be so blessed, just as Mary, Thomas, and Simon Peter, to be met with the presence of our resurrected Savior. Amen.